Testing, 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 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3. This is Joe McMillan, and this is April 6, 1995, and I'm interviewing my good friend, jockey, exercise boy, horse enthusiast,
Dad.
Sammy, this is a good day here. This is Joe McMillan, and we're here on this nice day, April the 6th, 1995. It's so good to have you here, to interview you here on this day. I wanted to know a little bit about your background, where you were born, your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters, where you went to school and that kind of thing.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, giving honor to God for being here, you know, and being able to do something like this and have this opportunity. I was born here in Louisville, Kentucky, in Talon Park, you know, which has been tore down there for the airport. My dad, Samuel Alexander Sr., died 1955. I was born in 1950, 5 years after I was born, from Lexington, Kentucky. My mother, Elizabeth Alexander, is from Louisville, Kentucky here, and she's passed, dead and gone, God bless her. But he was a rider himself, exercise rider, and he rode a couple of races, I was understood. Mr. Seagraves, Oscar Dishman, and God rest, Perry Smith was a good black trainer. Died a couple, I guess about 10 or 15 years ago. He rode with my father. And when I, you know, was born, you know, they used to take me to Douglas Park to burn down, you know,
right.
And put me on a pony, you know, and said, you know, you're going to be an exercise boy, you're going to be a jockey. And, you know, I was small enough, so I said, okay, so I just continued on with it, which was my oldest brother, Luther Bonifman. His father also was a black trainer around New Orleans. They took me to Douglas Park, and Larry Bonifon, which is the black fire chief, was here about 10 years ago and retired, the first black fire chief we had in the city of Louisville. My other brother, Ed Lee, he was assistant trainer for Dr. Alex Hart here for quite a while, and he's gone to California now. He's out there at Santa Anita Hollywood Park. And my baby brother, John T., he's in Chattanooga, Tennessee now, and he's no longer with the horses. And myself, of course. But I was the only one that really got into it.
You're the only one that became an exercise boy.
Yes, sir.
And stayed with it a long time. Yes. How long have you been with the horses now?
30, we were just talking about that today, my brother and I. 31 years.
30 or 31 years. So you came on the racetrack as a youngster then?
Very young, yes, sir. I was in junior high school at Manley Junior High School, and my mother got permission from the Board of Education and signed the permission slip that I could go to Churchill Downs and Miles Park in the morning to gallop horses, and I had to be at school by 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Did you graduate from high school?
Central High School.
And what year was that?
1968.
Graduated in 1968, but already you had been working with the horses from, say, a pre-teenager then, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Around Douglas Park, being from Highland Park, of course, Douglas Park being just down the road a piece from Highland Park, you were sort of like raised up around the racetrack, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you have a tremendous interest in horses.
Love them.
And because of that interest that you've had in horses, did you start in as an exercise boy, or did you start in another capacity?
Well, a gentleman named of Jack Fuchs, he's still training horses now at Churchill Downs. I went in with him as like a hot walker. I walked hot for him, I think, it was about 3 days, and he asked me to get on a pony for him one morning. And I got on a pony, and he said I had such a nice seat on a pony, he wondered how I looked on a thoroughbred. That was our Fred. And I think I was around about 13, 14 at the time. I told him no. And he put me on the horse, and the first horse he put me on, I don't remember the horse's name, but he ran off with me. a mile and a half. I couldn't pull him up. And he told me, he said, well, from then on, I had the heart to sit on him and then come off. He said, you'll be able to make it.
How about how much were you weighing then, Sam?
Oh, I wish I had it now. About 90, 92, 93.
So at 14, you were just the right size for jockey then.
Yes, sir. I was.
So then you started in as an exercise boy and as a hot walker, really.
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, have you ever groomed?
Never groomed. Never as a professional having a job as a groom. I've helped often went inside a stall and maybe pick out a horse's feet to be able to get on him or saddle him by myself or something like that. But far as taking care of him from morning to the next day is a professional job, no, sir.
When you graduated from high school in 1968, did you go work for someone on the racetrack there, or you just galloped for like free exercise boy in the morning for anybody that you could get up on?
No, sir. When I come out of Central High School, where Vietnam was just beginning to get kicked off, and I went to work for Stanley M. Reeser, which his son is training now, Steve Reeser, which is a prominent trainer over here at Churchill Downs. I worked for him almost 8 years, 8-9 years straight. Then I asked for my jock license, and I went before the stewards, and they okayed me breaking out of the starting gate and everything, and I got my jock license as a professional, and then that's when I left him and I started freelancing such as I'm doing now.
Right. So then about 7 years you worked for the Reese's then?
Yes, sir.
Stanley, and then what did you work for his son also?
Well, Stephen was in college at the time at Alabama University. He was a swimmer.
Right.
And he would come out on like Saturdays and Sundays with his father, Stanley. He would come out on holidays or something, but he wasn't training and didn't seem like he had too much interest in being a trainer at the time. He was in college.
So it really was Stanley that brought you out there?
Yes,
right?
Sir. Stanley Reese.
So when you got your jock's license, did you begin getting mounts?
Yes, sir. That was in Detroit, Michigan, because that's where I first received my first jockey license. And I'm hoping to ride her April the 25th at Keeneland. If she gets in. She's already won 4 races for us. The reason I wasn't aboard her then is because she was getting in with such light weight as 112, 113, and I couldn't do the weight.
Do you think the disappearance of black jockeys had to do with the fact that blacks started getting bigger? Or is it some other reason that we don't see more black exercise boys, and then as a consequence, more black jockeys, because that's a kind of a natural move from exercise boy
to rider,
to rider,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
What do you think the reason is for the lack of black jockeys around here? Or an exercise boy? There aren't that many exercise boys.
No, it's not. They really have phased us out. Like they say that we've done it ourselves, which we did. I could say, but. Like myself and there's a couple others probably on the East Coast and other places, there are blacks, but the purses and the money has got so large now. And I had one tell me about in 1990 when I won the Isaac Murphy Award from Whoopi Goldberg, told me that winning the Kentucky Derby is too much money for a black man to have. Excuse me. And I don't want to mention his name because he's a white fellow. And we were very good friends. I still speak to him here and there, but ever since then I had any more talk or wanted to even get on horses for him because he was low rate to say that it was too much money for a black man to have. And that's the reason that I think that we don't have the black jockeys that we have
so,
now.
So racism plays a big part in that, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's not so much the fact that blacks can't make the weight and have gotten bigger, as they said.
No.
But it's because the sport has become more lucrative.
Yes, sir.
And as it became more lucrative, then more blacks were discriminated against.
It's just like grooms, like now, grooms and hot walkers at Churchill Downs and other racetracks in the country other than New York. It used to be all black. I mean, you know, it was few Caucasians or Mexicans or Puerto Ricans there, but the majority were all black. And as the purses got bigger, it seems like, I don't know what it is, but they just faded us out.
As you look back on your career as an exercise boy mainly.
Yes, sir.
I know you've seen some good exercise boys.
Who
have been some of the ones that have inspired you?
Majority of them that I know are all dead and gone. All black.
Yeah. Who were some of them?
I really didn't know all of them real names, because on the racetrack then when I was coming up, we all went by a nickname.
What were the nicknames?
Well, one of them was Pootsie. Galloper Stanley Reese for I know 17 to 20 years.
Yeah.
He was one. They had one named Johnny Dollar, was in from Chicago. I know a lot, I'm thinking of them now.
Pootsie, of course, is from right here in South Louisville.
South Louisville, right. South Louisville.
When you were around with Reese, Pootsie was still
He was the number one exercise rider there. He got on the top horses that Stanley had, such as Patty Canyon, Delanoa, Miss Swapco, Double Delta.
Pootsie a good exercise boy?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Very, very good.
Never did transfer over to riding, though, did he? Because
no.
He was a little big, wasn't he?
Well, he had such, like myself, not really a problem, but it is a problem, because trying to hold your weight down to 112, 13 pounds, and then they want to see you get on every racehorse at Churchill Downs, you know.
Right.
Some of the other fellas that I know, Charlie Woods, riders like that, they came up with me, quite a few of them, and they didn't have to get on the horses that I had to get on to prove myself as a rider, but they would let them ride them in the afternoon after I got off of them in the mornings, and I just never understood that, it's like that.
Well, that borders on what we've discussed in many of the other tapes here, and that is the business that blacks have been discriminated against.
Yes, sir.
Who were some of the better jockeys that you, in your estimation, over the years that have come along in your time? I consider you you're more recent than Mary and Ed Lee and all of those.
Yes, sir.
Your time is sort of contemporary. Who are some of the good jockeys?
Well, I have to give Pat Day. He's top, and I have to give him his dues, because he is that. I do feel that I could compete with him if I had the horse type of horses that he rides. I feel that I could do the same thing, if not better than Pat Day. God bless him, Willie Shoemaker, that's been paralyzed through a fatal accident. God bless him that he may continue to go on in his training career that he's trying to do now.
He was a good jockey, though.
Very good rider. Had perfect hands.
Mm-hmm.
Seat wasn't too well. It didn't look that good sitting on the horse, but when it come to riding, breaking out that starting gate, what really mattered, and he was one of the top.
What makes Day good in your estimation?
I think Pat Day is more inclined to the horse such as myself. He fits just about any horse that he gets aboard. He's not a rough hand rider. He's soft hands. He barely seldom goes to the whip to abuse a horse or to whoop him or beat him. I mean, he gets more out of setting still.
He knows how to rate that.
Yes, he just goes with the feeling of the horse. Like he breaks from the gate and the horse feel like he want to take off, he can relax the horse with his hands and then bring him on. If a horse goes back to bed last, instead of receding to going to the whip to start, it's not really torture, but sometimes you can beat a horse and then he really doesn't need that.
Yeah.
And jockey Pat Day's like that.
And you are, right now, you are one of the few black exercise boys over at Churchill Downs Training Center. I go over there in the mornings. I don't see very many black exercise boys. How many black exercise boys do you have around there now?
Two.
Two.
There's dinner. It's people are shipping in now from like Florida and New Orleans. I think I seen one just the other day just come in. I don't know this gentleman's name. I think he's from Florida, but he's black.
Yeah.
He's African-American.
You're saying fewer and fewer black exercise
boys. When I first started, when I really was getting involved in it deeply, I say back in the 60s, it was
almost all
black.
Now it's
changed. Now I go to Churchill Downs and get on, I see one, maybe two. You know, African Americans, the rest of them are like Cuban, Puerto Rican, and they just as dark complexion as I am. Even with the nappy hair, but yeah, they don't consider themselves African American.
Right. Yes, so then you have a demise of the black exercise boy, and as a result, a demise of the black jockey.
Yes, sir. Correct.
Because it's a natural step from exercising to becoming a rider.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that that's going to be alleviated at any point in time? Do you think?
Well, if I got anything to do with it, and as long as the Lord breathes air into my body, I'm gonna try to do all I can to keep it going. I've been looking here in Louisville, the only place I've really been in the last 5-6 years, for some young lady or young man, black, that likes horses, who thought about, you know, the idea of riding horses. I would take them, as they say at the racetrack, under my wing and teach them in order to be able to ride in the Kentucky Derby. Since I couldn't make it to the age of 44, I'd like to bring one up to do it in the near future.
At the age of 44, though, you still got your chance, though. I mean, you still have some hopes, right?
Yes, sir. I'm not going to give up.
You haven't given up.
No, sir. I refuse to.
I can see that in you, because you... up and down in the riding. I know you've ridden. I saw you ride last year here at Churchill Downs a couple times, right?
Yes, sir.
And you got some, you say you're going to ride at the Keeneland meet, right?
Yes, sir. I will be riding at Keeneland and also Churchill Downs too this spring. The only thing is, like, I get on the winning horses that Pat Day rides, Charlie Woods, Larry Malone's son. I get on them some of the every day, 7 days a week. But then when it comes time for them to go in the afternoon where the race is worth $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, they act like that's too much money for me to make. You know, if I can get on him in the morning and hold 1,500 pounds of flush down to 5-10 miles an hour as they clock him, then I know I can get on his back and let him go 65, 70, 80 miles an hour and win.
But it
goes all the way back to the first of the tape. There's too much money for me to make.
Yeah. And do you have an agent? Do you usually have an agent, or are you your own agent?
I'm my own agent because by law of the Racing Commission, that if I have an agent, I have to pay him X amount of dollars every week. And by me only riding one or two horses a month, I couldn't afford to pay him. Yeah, he'd be getting more than I would.
I see.
Yes, sir.
So you sort of like freelance jockey, freelance
exercise.
Yes,
sir.
You have any problems getting horses to ride in the morning?
No, sir. No problem in the morning. I have them calling me over the loudspeaker.
What do they pay exercise boys now? Does it depend on the trainer?
It depends upon the trainer or the horse that you're getting on. Like, if it's a classier horse, a lounge horse, derby horse, they give you something like $10, $15, $20 better, according to the trainer. But just going rate normally every morning is $7 to gallop them. And if you take them to the starting gate, it's $8. And if you work them, which is a blowout prior to a race, it's $10.
Now, I remember a couple, 3 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, the Hammers came to town.
Yes, sir.
And you were involved and affiliated with the with that group when they came here with the Derby horses, and they did win the Kentucky Oaks. And
with White Light, yes,
yeah,
sir. I galloped him.
You galloped White Light.
Yes, sir. I galloped her.
Yeah. And what do you think the future is then for maybe people like Hammer and people like Magic and Michael Jordan, people who have the money? What is the prospect for them getting involved with horse racing, the sport of kings?
Well, it would be very, very simple for them because, like say, sport of kings, and they are kings of the amount of money that they have. Like with the Hammer, I talked to his father, Mr. Burrell, and I had mentioned Mr. William Doyle, which is a prom black trainer here in Louisville, Kentucky. Would you consider giving him a horse or two to train for you? I know you're not going to give him your Derby horse because D. Wayne Lucas has him, but give him a horse of caliber, that, you know, just to give him an opportunity and to let me ride it. And he said that he don't know if he should do that or not because he wouldn't be able to make money with us. Now,
is that because he thinks that he can make money with a white trainer? And because the white trainer has more contacts, or what is the reason for that?
That's what I would believe. Such as trainers that I know now, John Robinson, William Doyle, James Amos, seem like when they run a horse, and myself has been on the majority of them that they have trained, and being an exercise rider and a jockey, I know the horse is ready for a race. And they'll put a rider on him, go in there and break him out of the gate, and we know that the horse is capable of finishing at least second or third, if not winning the race, and they'll finish eighth, ninth, and tenth and come back with an excuse. And I think it's just, again, going back to the money situation, they just don't want us in there making that type of money.
Yeah, which is really
and
a shame.
I hate to say that. And
but that's
really,
the way it is. Though.
But that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah. Of course, now, you say you got a weight problem now.
Yes, sir.
What do you weigh normally if you tip the scale right now?
If I tip the scale right now, it would be right at 119, 118.
In other words, for you to ride a horse, the horse has got to have at least, if they come in at 112, that's the what they, and then you got to give a 9 plus. That means you got to
give a 9 pounds, you know, advantage in me riding the horse. That's another reason why they wouldn't ride me also. But if I can do it in the morning at 118, 119 with a 5-pound exercise saddle,
right,
and work him three furlongs of in 37, I can get on him in the afternoon with an 11-ounce saddle,
right,
weighing 119, and do the same thing. But
right,
to them, it's not that.
Have you ridden in other places besides Churchill Downs? You say you rode at the Waterford Downs.
Yes, sir.
And besides Waterford, Detroit Racecourse, and Churchill, have you ridden other places?
I've ridden called a racetrack in Florida. I've ridden in Hialeah. I didn't get to ride at Gulfstream. I've ridden in California at Dale Moss on the West Coast, out there on the West Coast. That's when I met Sammy Davis Jr. before he passed, and his father.
So you've been around a little bit.
Oh, yes, sir. I've had my ups and downs with it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you had to look back over your career now, which spans now almost 30 years, you say.
Yes, sir.
What did you say were some of the highlights of your career?
Some of the highlights, I would say, in meeting Whoopi Goldberg and getting a salute from Whoopi Goldberg as a black rider, meeting Marty Freeman, B.B. Mm-hmm. King, as we spoke of MC Hammer and the Burrell family. That's been the most highlight other than riding races, because I haven't had any horse of that caliber, that destitute of money to really say I could win a race and actually have a picture.
When Light won the Kentucky Oaks, did you exercise her during that period?
Yes, sir. I exercised
every time she worked out, you exercised
her. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And when she won, I carried the orchids back from the winner's circle all the way back to the barn around my neck.
That must have been a great experience.
That was a great experience. That was very, very, and the Burrells were very nice to me. They gave me a little steak, you know, money, and
sure,
and they treated me very well, you know, they
if you had some advice to give to a young, aspiring black exercise boy with an idea and with an overall view to becoming a jockey, what would your advice be?
First of all, stay far away from the drugs as possible, or associate or affiliated with any, because that would be, you already have a strike against them being black, and that's the second strike, the drug. Second of all, just watch what you eat. Not a lot of greasy food, because we are known for the barbecue ribs and the candy yams, and it's good food, and that's mainly the reason I am having my weight problems. But you know, it's a sacrifice, and you really, just like I'm doing now, I wait till I got 44 years old to get really sacrificed and dedicated, which I didn't have the backing that I have now in telling me and helping me as far as
and the other thing I noticed that you have right now, you got God on your side.
Amen.
Right?
Well, above all, He has carried me every step. Like I said at the beginning of the taping, giving honor to God first for being here.
Well, so that you become more spiritual there in the last few years.
I think another thing, as you asked me back in an interview about Pat Day, that's another thing, because he was a Bronco rider before he even thought about being a professional jockey. And he had God, I'm sure, on his mind then, but as he really gave more honor to him and spoke out like I am doing, and I'm not doing it because of Pat Day. I'm older than Pat Day, and I've been doing it longer than Pat Day. But just giving honor to God and him giving you the strength every day to live, first of all, and then second of all, the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to be upon his creature, which is quadruple bigger than I am, and could handle me like we would handle a newborn baby. And I just give it all to God. I really do.
Let me ask another question. Do you think that, what do you think about the contributions of blacks to horse racing over the years that you've been around? Have blacks made a contribution to horse racing?
I would say indeed so. Like now, sitting where I'm sitting right now, I'm looking at one of the best that I know of, Mr. Carl Seagrace. He's the only black trainer that I know that won the, at that time, was the Miles Park Derby, which was a big thing back then, when Miles Park had it. And he's the only, I'm quite sure there probably been others that tried prior to him, but he's just an inspiration to me. And I think that, like I say, a black male or female that would like to be a jockey, that could go to the Church of Downs Museum and look up about Mr. Seagrace and study him, and also myself, and I think we would both together give him enough inspiration to want to do.
You, as you look now, I know that horse racing is getting ready to begin right here at Churchill Downs. Yes. In about a month. The Derby runs in,
yes, sir,
almost a month, May the 6th, and the Keeneland opens up soon, and
yes,
Turfway is closing.
Yes, sir.
Is this a good time of the year for you?
This would be an excellent time of the year with me if I felt that the trainers that know me and been knowing me all this time would just be realistic people and say, well, I'm gonna give this man a shot. You know,
yeah.
I'm not gonna put him on my Derby horse, of course, because he hasn't been riding that many races. But I feel I could go out and ride the Derby May the 6th and win.
If you had the mount.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Because in the Derby now, they have to pick up, that's 126 pounds for the
Yes, I can ride that. Yes, sir,
That'd be very easy.
That would be outstanding. That would be just like getting up in the morning, going to work,
right,
and getting on the horse. Yes, I would love that very much. But I don't think that it would happen. I'm hoping and praying to God that it will. I'm with this trainer now, Susan Stidham, and she wants to be the first female, black or white, to saddle and win the Kentucky Derby. And that's both our dreams together. I've been for 3 years now, and we've been through a lot of bad and a lot of good together. And they're doing it.
She's a pretty good trainer, then.
Yes, she's a horseman.
She's got aspirations.
Yes.
High aspirations.
Very high aspirations.
That's
And she is willing. And she has the faith of God, and I've sat and talked to us where I'm with her for the last 3 years.
How many horses does Sue Stidham have now?
Well, right at this moment, she has three. Yesterday, claimed one from us, and the other one wasn't eligible to run at Churchill Downs. He had to be a certain price, and it was cheap. So if a
black were really interested, do you see any possibility of blacks buying first-rate horses? I know I'm involved right now with a horse.
Yes, sir.
Several others have a horse here, a horse there. Do you see blacks coming together and pooling resources to form like a syndicate and buying good horses? Is there a possibility for blacks to do well?
It's a very good possibility. I feel that it is. But I don't know why. You know, like I said, I've been in it 30 years and I still don't know why. That seems like one don't want the other to get above him. Instead of just getting all together and saying, okay, you know, we make $1 million, we'll split it.
Yeah.
You know, but we make $1 million, this one wants $2 more than the other.
Because that's been the same with us In other professions too, right?
Yes.
Not just the horse
industry.
That means that unity is a thing for
us. As a whole,
America,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much then, Sam, for sitting here with me these
few minutes.
Thank
you very much, Dr. McMillan.
Certainly appreciate your contributions to horse racing. I've always held you in high esteem.
Thank you, sir.
And think that you have certainly been a good example.
Thank you.
For the youngsters to come along to emulate, particularly as exercise boys. And I, over my years, I've seen a decline in the numbers of people who are aspiring to become race riders.
Yes, sir.
And I hope that that will somehow be stymied. Maybe you can be of some influence in that.
Well, I hope and pray God to, like I say, if there's ever any that listen to this tape or I ever hear about it, I'll just come to the Sports Spectrum. Just come out to Church of Downs any day of the year and page Sam Alexander, and I'll try to do my best to help him to be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good afternoon,
God bless you.
Sir.
Yes,
God
sir.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Sam Alexander, and this is Thursday, April 27, 1995, and this is a brisk day, and we just ask him to come up and say a few words about his career again. Sam, it's good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. It's good talking to you again, sir.
I wanted to ask you a bit about what you do on the racetrack.
Yes, sir. Well, it starts out early in the morning at about 5:30. I go in with my trainer, Susan Stidham, and I wash the feed tubs, give them fresh water, clean them up for going to the track for training, pick out their feet, and help catch the stall. And then I saddle them up, and Susan throws me up on his back, and I go galloping.
So you do the whole thing then? Huh?
I do it all. I groom, hot walk, and exercise. Yes, sir.
And I thought that came through the last interview, that you were doing all of it. That's unusual, isn't it?
It's very unusual for an exercise rider or ex-jockey to do that, unless they're training their own horses. But I'm just trying to show Miss Stidham and other people, other trainers, that I am eligible of doing that, and I do want to ride their horses. And I figure by doing that and showing them my dedication to them, they will give me opportunity to ride.
That's great dedication, Sam. How long have you been exercising now?
Well, I've been exercising since 1968. Yes, sir, at Miles Park.
So that goes back like 25 years, 27
about
years.
About 27 years, 27, 27 20,
years.
Yes,
and you're still getting up.
Every day.
Yes. And how about your weight? How's your weight?
Well, it's very good now, thank God. Right now I'm weighing 117 pounds. The last time that we talked, I weighed 128.
So you lost 11 pounds since we talked?
Yes.
Man, that's great. What you been doing, exercising?
Well, I've really been riding a bike. I have a 10-speed bike, and every morning when I get through, we through training about 10:30, and I help feed the horses their breakfast, and after we feed them at 10:30, I just go get on my bike and I ride about 5-6 miles one way and then 5-6 miles.
So you intend to ride during this upcoming spring meet here at Churchill Downs?
Yes, sir. Right? I'm really looking forward to it. And I've had two or three promises that if my weight, you know, would be correct, then I would be riding for them.
Yes. And that's always your big mission is to ride, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right.
Especially the spring meet.
And I watched you the other day. You were telling me on Church of Downs Training Center out there, there are only two black exercise boys.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
True.
And you're one of those two blacks.
And I'm one of them. Yes, sir.
And then you're sort of steady around here. You don't leave anywhere. You stay right around the Kentucky tracks now, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been the last five years now. That I just stopped traveling and just stayed in the Kentucky circuit, such as Churchill Downs, Ellis Park, Turfway, and now Bluegrass since they opened it up.
Given all of your experience now, that goes down 27 years exercise boy, you've been around the racetrack about how long, Sam?
I say approximately 30 years,
30 years.
Yes, sir.
And your brothers, Larry and Ed Lee. Where's Ed Lee now?
Well, Ed Lee, he is retired. He retired from Dr. Alex Harthill, and he's now in California. I understand that he's trying to get a couple horses there. I haven't talked to him in the last 4 or 5 months, but I understand that he's in Santa Anita trying to get horses there.
You really have a love for horses, don't you, Sam?
I love them, yes, sir. Really. Yeah,
that's, I guess it's part of your blood, then. It's,
yes,
it's,
sir. Well,
to be around horses, to ride them, to groom them.
Yes.
Just
what,
to be
whatever
with,
I can do with the horse, I do it. Hot walk, groom.
You know, it's amazing that a young man like you would have that kind of interest, and hopefully one day it'll pay off for you.
I hope and pray it does. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. I really do.
In closing, I just wanted to get this additional amount on you because I wanted to get it from the perspective of the exercise boy. Is there any future for blacks in riding, jockeying?
Much as I hate to say so, one thing to do in my age of getting older, I'm going to try to talk to someone, I don't know who it would be, to open up a riding school here in Kentucky. I'm hoping I can do it over Sports Spectrum because it's a training center. And I will be instructing young men and women, black, white, whatever.
There's been this rumor that's been floating around about blacks being too big to ride. Are there enough small blacks because of our size that we're not in the jockey rank?
Well, I would say somewhat, but it's not really that because the weight can fluctuate. The majority of the blacks that I've seen young, they're small enough. They're 96, 97, 98 pounds. And if you can catch them at a young age, say from 15, I say to the age of at least 18, just before they start going into manhood for the men or even for the ladies, you can coach them just like an athlete runner, track star. You can coach them and get them on the right diet. And once they get on that diet, their stomach will stay shrunk because they're already that young and they won't gain weight. And like myself, I think my mistake was, it wasn't really a mistake, but I went into the Marine Corps in 1969, and I stayed in there to 1972. And by being in there running 5-6 miles every day, I have to do PT tests of such as pull-ups, sit-ups, and a combination of other athletic things, it just made my body more muscular.
I see.
And then
the
once
more
I,
muscle you have, then the more fat around that muscle.
Yes, and it's hard
hard to lose.
Yes, sir. Very hard to lose.
What's the best thing the jockey has to have? He's an athlete, right?
Yes, I think he's the best athlete. I think he's a better athlete than a basketball player, football player, tennis, any sport there is.
Why do you say that?
Because it's very strenuous setting above upon a 1,500-pound animal, a 1,200-pound animal. The smallest you'll find would be 900 pounds. And they have the mind to go out there and to run as fast as they can, as far as they can. And as a jockey's job is to, as we say, rate a horse. And in rating a horse, it's not being really strong, but it's being really fit to keep yourself in one position as
right.
This animal is running that hard.
And then to let him go.
Yes, sir.
To hold him and then let him go.
At the right time.
That means you got to have strong wrist strength, right?
Strong wrist and strong hands.
Yeah.
That's what makes Pat Day a great rider. Because
carpal strength is wrist strength.
Yes, sir.
And if you got that strong, that's the same thing a baseball player's got that same thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and gripping the bat. Yes,
gripping
sir.
Gripping the bat,
yes,
right.
Sir.
And then you got to have wrist strength. What about leg strength?
Well, you got to have really strong legs because the crouch position that you stay in for no more than 2 minutes, which is the Kentucky Derby, a long race, is 2 minutes and some odd seconds. The shorter the race, the shorter the time, but still in that length of time in a full movement and hoping not to bump a horse to call inquiry against you, you have to have strong legs and strong arms to be able to set in one position, throw your horse off stride to bump.
So really, the jockey, as small as he is,
yes,
is perhaps the most athletic of the athletes.
Yes, that's the reason I say it, because they are so small and so light. Like a basketball player, he could weigh whatever he wants. Really a set weight limit. Football players.
The jockey's got to be a certain
weight limit
to make the weight in the race.
Yes,
right?
Sir, and still be on.
same time.
Yes, sir.
It is told that that was one of the problems with the greatest of the jockeys, who was a black, Isaac Murphy.
Yes, sir.
That he had problems with weight.
Yes.
And the diet, and trying to sweat it off, he contracted a disease and died early.
Yes.
A lot of jockeys will go through that kind of thing and losing weight. If they don't know how to lose it the right way, then it could be harmful to the body.
Yes, sir. Because like myself, occasionally, much as I hate to say this, sometimes when I eat my dinner, I have to bring it back up. I have holding it all. Like yourself, you could eat right. And say like you wouldn't gain, but only probably a couple ounces.
Right.
When I would eat the same thing you would eat, and I would gain a couple of pounds.
That's right, and yeah. You can't afford it.
And I can't afford it, so I'd have to bring it back out.
Yeah. Yes, what about the danger aspect of this? You said you're sitting up there on a horse, you're 117 pounds, you're on a 1,500-pound animal, and he's running a race of 12, and they're all right close together.
Yes, sir.
Is there danger there?
Very much so, because it's you knowing your horse and not knowing of the other horse that the other riders are on and not knowing their capability of handling their horse is this a thing that you're trying to think, just like driving a car, you're trying to watch out for the other guy and watch out for yourself too. But only in riding a horse, it's not like driving a car, because if you bump driving a car, you're going to tear up the outside of the car, and if it's not a bad wreck, you won't be hurt. But if you just barely touch a horse, it could be that he'll fall in an instant.
Right. And then you're going down with him.
He's going down with him.
And if there's somebody behind you,
you will be ran over.
Yeah. Yes. And that's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yes. Yes. Have you ever been hurt?
Yes, sir. I had my rib broke on my right side. Had all my fingers has been broken. My right ankle's been broken, and I had a concussion.
Right in race riding,
yes sir, in Detroit, Michigan, DRC, yes sir.
Exercising is not as
it's not as dangerous, because you're more out there like as they say training.
Right.
You're out there just to teach the horse how to switch his leads, more so how to hound the bit in his mouth for the rider, the jockey to ride in the afternoon. And about I say 7 out of 10 times, you would have a pony going with you the complete mile and a half or the complete 2 miles. When riding a race, you're out there all by yourself, and it's more as freelancing in the afternoon than it is in the morning. And you're more relaxed. You have more outriders watching for you. It's just a lot more peaceful in the morning than it is in the afternoon.
How many horses do you get up every morning on?
I get on about 7 or 8 a day.
7 or 8 a day.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. And then do all that other stuff.
And then feed, walk. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Sam, I hope that you have great success.
Thank you, sir.
I wish that this year might be the beginning of something good.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the interview.
Yes, sir. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
Yes, sir.